Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you this morning and to have this opportunity to study and to worship our God this morning. As has been mentioned already, we do have a lot of visitors with us. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that we are overjoyed by the fact that you're here, that you've chosen to come and to be here with us and worship God with us. We want you to know that we do our very best to strive in every way to follow what God has given to us in His Word. Nothing more than that, nothing less than that. Just following His Word in every way. And if you're here visiting with us, and maybe you've got questions about that, I'm certainly open. I'll be sticking around for quite some time. You can hammer me down with questions, not too hard, but easy questions you can hammer down on. And if you've got any of those, I'd love to have an opportunity to talk to you about that. Our time here this morning, as we worship, is all about God. That's what worship is. And we have this morning engaged in that. We have focused ourselves on God in every way. We have prayed to Him together. We have praised Him in song together. We have remembered Him and the sacrifice that was made as we took the Lord's Supper together. And now we have opportunity to open up His Word. And specifically this morning, we're going to continue with that thought as we hone in and focus on who God is. When we begin to think about who God is, and we talk about that, a lot of times we talk about the attributes of God, and we begin to throw out things like God is all powerful, or God has all the knowledge, or that God is sovereign over all things, or that God is present everywhere, and we begin to toss those things out, all of which are absolute realities. We can open up God's Word from the very beginning of it to the very end of it and see example after example after example of God's power and God's rule and God's presence and God's knowledge. Over and over and over, story after story, picture after picture given to us to showcase who God is in those specific ways. But yet as we study through God's Word, we will struggle to find a passage that may specifically say, God is all powerful. Now we'll find lots of passages that will showcase His power, or we'll struggle to find, God is all present, or God is sovereign, or God is all knowing. Now we can find examples of all of those things. But yet when we get to the pages of the New Testament and we come specifically to a passage penned by the Apostle John, when we think about the Apostle John and we think about him as a writer in the New Testament, I want to give you just a couple of things to think about. John, as he penned, in a lot of ways, besides the Apostle Paul, more books than anyone else in the New Testament, as he writes one of the Gospels, a story of Jesus and who he is, and his specific story in the Gospel of John. But he also pens three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as closing our New Testaments by writing the book of Revelation. And the Apostle John and the relationship that he had with God as we study through the New Testament, specifically his relationship with his son, and how close and how intimate that relationship was, and how he was able to see and to witness God in so many different ways, doing so many different things, even more so than some of the other apostles, as Jesus often took Peter, James, and John with him to see certain things. But now as John begins to write these letters that we have and the gospel that we have and the revelation that we have all through inspiration from God, he's doing so at a time in his life in which he is an older man. The facts will show us that John's writings, all of John's writings, his gospel, those three letters and the book of Revelation, all were written after all of the other books that we have in the New Testament. written by the hand of a man who is old, as history tells us. John lived longer than any of the apostles. And as an old man, he begins to pen the story of Jesus. And he begins to write the letters that we have. And even in the book of Revelation, John's focus is in every way on God, but it is about his love. All throughout John's writings, 80 times in his book, he makes mention of God's love, 36 times specifically in the book of 1 John that we're going to talk from a little bit this morning. As he tells the story of Jesus in the Gospel of John, it is there in the Gospel of John that we have that passage that so many are familiar with in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that showcase and talk about the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as we get into 1 John specifically, and in a passage that Steve read for us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, John will say, he who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. And when John showcases God in every way, it is love that he hones in on. Over and over through this book, he points not just to God's power or God's knowledge or God's sovereignty. All of those things are reality, but God's love is pointed out to us. And it is on God's love that I want us for a few minutes this morning to focus in on. You know, love, as we talk about it, even in our culture today, can be misunderstood and used in so many different ways. I think in a lot of ways, it's almost used in whatever way that we want to. We use it to describe and to talk about it so many different ways, but most often, when we use the word love, we almost always will use it in kind of the romantic sense, enticing our feelings or enticing our infatuation. But the problem with that kind of love is that that kind of love can fade away. We can all probably think in our minds of someone that maybe we thought we loved as we were young or when we were much smaller or younger than we are now, and that love that we had based upon a feeling or based upon the infatuation that we had in that moment just kind of fades away. And when we think about God's love and we try to equate it to those kinds of things, we're going to misunderstand what God's love is all about. And so what I like about John in his writings is he doesn't just toss it out there, God is love, figure that out on your own. He defines what he means. He pinpoints exactly what he means when he talks about that God doesn't just love, but that God is love. And so there are three things that we're going to point at this morning that John talks about in this book that helps us to define what it really means when he says that God is love. And the first is this, ironically, that God loved first. We had read for us there in 1 John chapter 4, at the very end of that text that was read at the beginning of the lesson, it says that we love him because he first loved us. God loved first. He started love. I want you to begin to think in your mind, when was it that God first loved us? When was it that God first loved you? We may often think or picture or conjure up on our mind Jesus on the cross, his demonstration of his love for us. But I want you to understand, especially here in Scripture, that's not in any way when God loved first. It showcases his love, absolutely. But it's not when he loved first. I want you certainly to hold your finger in 1 John chapter 4 or put a ribbon there or a little piece of paper. We're going to come back to it. But in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren there in Ephesus, he talks to them specifically about God's love and his mindset for him. And in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, listen to what the Apostle Paul here says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When was it that God first loved? It wasn't Jesus on the cross, even though that was certainly his love demonstrated. But the Apostle Paul here says that God, he first loved even before the foundation of the world. Now I want you to begin, if you can. It's going to be difficult, because we struggle with the concept of anything before the foundation of the world. But I want you to begin to think into your mind that God's love, it reaches specifically for you all the way back before the world was created. Before the world was formed, God loved you. Before the foundations of this planet was laid, God chose you. Now, like you and myself included, I struggle with comprehending the timing of all of that. But yet when I take a step back and I begin to think about how long that is, the answer becomes, you can't put time on it. And so that's when John is able to say there in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, yeah, we love him, certainly. But because he loved us first. You see, God's love is so different from the way that our culture loves. Because God doesn't love because. Or God doesn't love since. Or God doesn't love if. Or God doesn't love when. Or God doesn't love only. God loved first. What a powerful picture that is. And so for us this morning, if we start with God's love, in every way, it draws us to the second thing that shows that God's love gives life. In 1 John chapter 4, again, beginning in verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want to tell you a story. One that popped up in the news last year, May of 2017. So it may be somewhat familiar to you if you follow the news very closely. But in May of 2017, on a Saturday afternoon, a woman by the name of Diane Aluska was her name, was walking down the street shopping with her daughter. Daughter was in her mid-20s at this time. And they were having a great day. They were walking down the street. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful day. They were shopping and they were enjoying the time that they were spending together. What they didn't know is that across the street from where they were, an elderly woman was backing out of her parking space. And as she backed out of her parking space, she got confused a little bit on whether she had put that car into drive or kept that car into reverse and pushed the gas. And it was still in reverse. And that car hopped the curb, shot across the street, popped over the sidewalk, and Diane and her daughter was standing right there. And in a split-second decision, motivated entirely out of love, Diane shoves her daughter out of the way and takes the full-on brunt of that car herself. Just hours later, she passed away in the hospital. Now, that kind of story is one that happens every now and again. But I want you to think just for a second. How would you feel if that was you? If in that moment of danger, that someone shoved you out of the way, but yet didn't get out of the way themselves, shoved you out of the way and took the hit for you. I don't know how I would feel in that moment. But so much more so, that's what God has done for all of us. He took the punishment that was coming my way. Death, which was headed for me, he took that away. I know that God is powerful when I look at his creation on a beautiful day like the one we have today. When I look outside and I see the sun shining and I see the leaves blowing and swaying in the wind and the tall trees and I certainly know all of what else is out there and you can be surrounded by God's creation and I can look at that and I can know that God is a powerful being who spoke that creation into existence. But this morning, I can look at the cross of Christ and I can instantaneously know that God is love. Because what Jesus did for every single one of us is he shoved us out of the way and took the hit himself. As John writes, God's love is manifested. It is shown. It is made clear in the fact that he sent his only son that we could live through him. And so, yes, most certainly, God is love because he loved first. But God is love because God's love gives us life. And thirdly, God is love because God's love is great. Or I would even use the word is extravagant. In 1 John chapter 3, maybe just a page back in your Bible, John will write, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. You may use a New American Standard version. The New American Standard renders it this way at the beginning. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us so that we can be called the children of God. You see, God's love isn't stingy. It's not held back in any way. It is never ending. In the passage that we read in 1 John chapter 4, specifically in verse 16, John will say that we have known and believed the love of God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. As John writes here in verse 16 that we have known and believed, what he's saying is it is something, God's love, that we can believe in, that we can rely on. Maybe when you're younger, you'd find a daisy or a flower with petals on it, and you'd play the "He loves me, he loves me not" game. And you'd take that flower, and maybe you'd picture someone that you had a little feeling for, and you begin to pull those petals off. "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not." And then you get to that last petal, and it's either "He loves me" or "He loves me not." And we'd convince ourselves, well, that's what the flower says, and so I guess that's what we'll go with, right? That's, we do that all, we still do that, I think, today on a different level. But we're all familiar with that. "She loves me, he loves me, he loves me not." But I think sometimes that's the game we play with God. I think we play that game with God all the time. I'll give you an example. I got a raise at work. He loves me. I didn't get that promotion that I really wanted. He loves me not. The things are going great in my life. He loves me. Someone very close to me has gotten really sick. He loves me not. You see, I think we can play games that way with God all the time. When things are way, way up, it is God's love is pouring down on me. But yet when things aren't going so well, we try, certainly with Satan's help, to convince ourselves that it's because God's love is being pulled back in some way, is being held off in some way. Maybe it'll come back again and things will look up, but right now God's love is kind of at a distance. Well, God doesn't love that way. The way that God loves is He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, He loves me over and over and over again. And the point that John is making here for all of us is His love is so great, it is so extravagant that me, Jeremy, I can soak myself in His love. But there is so much that you can soak yourself in His love. I want everybody to pull their blue songbooks out for a moment. And I want you to turn to song number 21. Song number 21 is really an interesting song in the way that it's written. Because the focus in every way is to get us to really focus in on God's love for us and ultimately my response to that. Morgan's going to lead this song for us, and we're going to sing this together, and then I'll extend the invitation following that. But I really want you to think about the very first line of this song as you have it open there before you. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond measure. What a beautiful line that is. To showcase exactly what God's love is. It is so vast, it is immeasurable, that we can soak ourselves in the love of God, each and every one of us. Let's sing about God's love specifically and our response to it, Morgan.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the chaos hearing loss,
we think about this song, or we think about God's love as we've done this morning, it's difficult to comprehend. Because the point is made right here in 1 John. The point is made in the book of Romans as well, specifically here in verse 10, that this is the love. It's certainly not that we love God, but that He loved us. Paul will say in the book of Romans in chapter 5 that while we were still sinners, Christ gave Himself for us. It's remarkable to think about God's love. But it's the reality that He has showcased this love for each and every one of us. And maybe it's difficult to comprehend, even in the song that we just sang, in the third verse, when the question is asked, why should I gain from this reward? Why should I gain from this love? I've done nothing to garner this love. Why should I gain from this reward? And the beautiful answer is that I can't give an answer for that. But it doesn't change the reality, as the song tells us, that this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. And we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement, and it gives us an opportunity to think about God's love, for all of us to think about God's love, to feel God's love come over top of us. And to know that it was God's love that made it possible for our sins to be washed away, so that we can live for eternity with God, with Christ. His sacrifice and the blood that was spilt was done so strictly out of the love that He has for you. Now, how will we respond to that? Well, Jesus will say, if you love me, keep my commandments. How could we not love a God like this? There may be a way that we can help you this morning. Maybe it is washing your sins away in the waters of baptism, just like the Bible outlines for us. That the way that we reach a place where we can have a relationship with God is to have those sins taken away, and those sins are taken away through the waters of baptism. That's what God's book says. We can help you with that today. Maybe there's something else that we can help you with. If you will just let us know by coming to the front as we stand and as we sing.